Take your Bibles, if you will, turn to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. Last week, we once again reviewed John the Baptist's early ministry. We talked how the people came out to hear him preach and to see the baptismal services. And then we ended with the reading of the Lord's baptism, where we will begin today. And if you would, let's stand together if you're able. Matthew chapter 3, beginning at verse 13, and we'll read down through chapter 4, verse 1. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for these words that we have read and those that we will read shortly. And Lord, we thank you that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, when tempted, used scriptures in his defense. And Lord, we thank you that we have these same scriptures. Plus now we have the New Testament. Lord, give us strength and encouragement to be strong in the day of temptation. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And with thanksgiving, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Verse 17, and lo, a voice, this is my beloved Son. May we always love our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But then we go from the baptism of Christ to verse 1 of chapter 4, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. May I say this, that when we are tempted, we need to have a defense. Amen. But why was he tempted? Was this a direct challenge to the devil? He would have known him as Lucifer, as one that had been created as the supreme angel. Did Jesus want to remind him that though he had tried various ways to stop the fulfillment of prophecy concerning himself, that he, the devil, had failed miserably? Whatever the reason, Jesus was ready and able to overcome the wicked one in his temptations. And we also can do this. Jesus used one source of defense, the Holy Scriptures. Let me read to you from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning at verse 15. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Point number one, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Let's begin reading back in Matthew chapter 4, verse 2. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, He said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The longer one goes without food, voluntarily or otherwise, and I have now gone without food for close to 4 hours, and my stomach is letting me know. But the longer we go, the more likely that one will do whatever it takes to get food. Even like Esau, who sold his birthright for a bowl of red beans. Truly, bread is important for our physical livelihood. Now, some would say going to the Golden Corral just to get their rolls is enough. But there is nothing quite like good bread. Can I hear an amen on that? Now, I'll be honest with you. If you want to have good pizza, you begin with what? Good cheese, huh? Mess me up right there, Cindy. Yes, you need good cheese, but you need good bread. If you want a good hamburger, you need good bread. Bread is important for our physical livelihood. But Jesus Christ says that the word of our Lord Jehovah, that they are important for our spiritual livelihood. And it needs to be part of our daily diet to have time in the word of God. And he said, quoting from the book of Deuteronomy, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Point number two, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Let's begin reading at verse 5 down through verse 7. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple. And saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, Christ is quoting from the book of Deuteronomy. For the second time, the devil uses the little word if, found in verses 3 and 6, if thou be the Son of God. May I say this, that if one denies that Jesus is God, then he is going down the wrong trail. Amen. For Jesus is literally God, Amen. And he came to die for you and for me. Any teaching that not denies that Jesus is God and that he alone provides the way of salvation is heresy, accursed from the evil one. But may I say this, that though Satan has long since given up the fact that God is his king and master, the day will come in which he will bow down and bend the knee to our Lord. We know that Jesus used scriptures in counterattacking the devil in the first temptation. But here we see that the devil is using the Old Testament in his next temptation. Jump, he says, and we'll see if the angels will protect you. If you are truly the Son of God, the scriptures say they will protect. So jump, jump. Psalm 91, 11, and 12 says, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. So Satan knows the scriptures. And may I say this, he has convinced people to follow strange doctrines by twisting the scriptures. Jesus again counters from the book of Deuteronomy, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Never ask God to go against his nature. Never ask God to go against his will. When we pray, we should pray that God's will be done, knowing that He is there with us when we go through the difficulty times of life. Unfortunately, Lucifer had long ago denied the Lord as master and king. Point number three, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. Let's begin reading at verse 8. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he saith unto them, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Now, we're going to stop there for a moment. Do you think that Satan would have given him the kingdoms if Jesus had bowed down? Remember this, that Satan is a liar. John called him, or Jesus called him in the book of John, the father of liars. Do you think he lies to you? Regularly. Even in church service, he'll lie to us. Verse 10, then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Each temptation was a little bit bigger. Stones to bread. See if the angels would catch you. And now I'll give you all the empires of the world that are to come. Again, the challenge by the devil as to our Lord's relationship to the Heavenly Father. And Jesus once again uses a defense of the Old Testament scriptures. Verse 11. Then the devil leaveth him. And behold, angels came and ministered unto him. The devil leaveth. But may I say this, when he comes against us, and we'll read in a moment from the book of James chapter 4, he will flee, but he'll be back. And sometimes he'll be back in 5 minutes, sometimes in 5 hours, sometimes in 5 days, but count on it, he'll be back. He'll be back. James 4, 7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Point number four, victory over temptations. Dr. Erwin Lutzer, pastor emeritus of Moody Church in Chicago, asks the question, why so much temptation? He then responds by saying, stubborn habits begin innocently enough, but because we don't master them, they quickly master us. Ed, and I'm going to try to say this Italian name properly, Vitagalino. Now, since I have the notes in front of me, you don't know if I said it right or wrong, right? Do you know Ed, any by chance? Good, so I didn't slaughter his name. He writes, it is clear that America is in the midst of a moral, political, and cultural upheaval that rivals that of the 1960s. Furthermore, a Christian would have to be totally devoid of discernment to miss the clear signs of a devastating spiritual war engulfing our land and its people. Unquote. Answers in Genesis founder Ken Ham states that evil powers are assaulting the church and the Word of God. The evil powers of Ephesians 6:12 are enslaving millions in thick chains of darkness and dragging them away into ruin. Unquote. Ephesians 6:12 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Can I say something to you? The demons are not afraid to come into the Covenant Baptist Church. They're not afraid of me, but they are afraid of a praying saint. They are afraid of the saint that is willing to read the scriptures And when he comes and attacks you, even within these walls, you had better be on guard, for he will come. Revelation 12, 9 says that our enemy, that is the great dragon, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, was cast out of heaven. He is evil. He hates the church for whom our Lord and Savior loved and gave himself for. He hates the Word of God, for in it we read in 2 Timothy 3:15, it is able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Do you see why that he doesn't want the Word of God in the public schools or in our courts or even in our churches? Unfortunately, many pastors and ministers today use the scriptures so little that you wouldn't even know that they know them. We, like the disciples, may grow angry at the stupidity and ungodliness that reigns in our society, wishing to call down fire from heaven to destroy them. Now, I don't know about you, but there are some times I say, Lord, why didn't you stop that? Why didn't you stop those people? Why don't you step in? But thank God our Lord is merciful and knows that some of these very rebels, like Saul of Tarsus, may repent and join themselves with us. Let us not forget 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Next week, as we continue our series of lessons in the book of Matthew, and in chapter 4, verse 16, we will see the words, "The people which sat in darkness saw great light." We're going to read about that in just a moment. Again, the writer Vitagalino has written, "It is hard for us to comprehend the spiritual state of the world when Jesus came. Other than Israel and a few scattered Jewish communities, everywhere one traveled, from one end of the earth to the other, there were only idolatry, false religion, and spiritual darkness. There was not a single lamp lit by biblical truth. There was not a temple other than those occupied by demons. There were no priests or prophets other than those who counseled people away from the one true God. That oppressive grip of darkness was broken the moment Jesus was born. He was and is the light of the world. And his coming, like the invasion of Normandy in 1944, was an invasion of occupied territory." He continues, "We are the follow-up to this invasion. We are to push forward into the darkness. We are the salt of the earth, the light of the world. For 2,000 years, a faithful portion of the church has taken seriously the words of Christ that we be salt, opposing decay and death, and light, opposing darkness and delusion. Proof of this is found in a simple fact. The earth is no longer in complete and total darkness, as the light continues to blaze brightly." Unquote. The light. We as Christians are to reflect the light of our Lord and Savior. But remember this, wherever the light goes, it immediately comes into conflict with darkness. But all the darkness in the world cannot put out the light. John the Baptist declared it. Jesus agreed. The apostles and the disciples of Christ continued it. The cry for repentance. What we need is repentance in our churches and in our country. The darkness hates the message of Christ and gospel preaching churches that challenge it. Paul said to the people of Athens, "God hath commanded all men everywhere to repent." When the forces of evil and good are battling, the powers of darkness, they do not slink away. But they come again and again and again. The devil and his emissaries, agents, and delegates are ferocious and totally depraved, hating the cause of Christ, hating the born-again believer. And the brighter we shine the light, the greater the satanic response. I'll be honest with you, I was fearful to preach this message today. Because I know any time you attack the evil one, he's not happy. But may I say this, there is no demilitarized zone in the spiritual battle. We must choose our side. There is no room for wimpy Christians who will not stand for truth or worried about offending people. May I say this? They don't care if they offend you. They expect you to tolerate their sinful condition, but they don't want to tolerate your spiritual convictions. There are two destinations for the souls of this battlefield. Their names are written down either in the Lamb's book of life or in the books, and they will live eternally in hellfire. There is no middle ground. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that find it, go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. We must fight for the United States of America, for the outposts of faith. Because if America falls, then all of Western civilization will fall with her. We must fight for gospel preaching churches, because if our churches fall, America will fall. We must fight for our families, because if our families fall, then our churches will fall. And we must fight for ourselves, because if we fall, our families will fall, our churches will fall, our nation will fall, and our world will fall back into what it was like 2,000 years ago. In conclusion, a final thought by Ed Vitagliano. If Christians can't see the cultural war is a manifestation of a spiritual war, we're blind. If Christians can't see that this is a time to be salt and light, then we are disobedient. Two things. Number one, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? And number two, are you serving him faithfully in the spiritual war that we are now in? Shall we stand together? Our song of invitation, 401, only trust him. Are you trusting him today? Will you trust him with your life? Will you trust him to be your guide? Dear Heavenly Father, as we have the invitation time, we ask, Lord, your hand would be upon us. Give us strength and encouragement, Lord, to serve you faithfully. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.